So welcome, welcome, welcome. I like to sometimes walk around. It just helps, I don't know, get people with a change of state. It's a little different than just standing up in one place. And we mentioned the push for people to join a small group. And that's great. The Lord's given us a lot of new members in the last 8 months. We praise the Lord for that. So we also need some new groups starting. So if you want to open your home and be a host to start a small group, that's great. If you want to teach a small group, let's talk, and that would be great. We need more, and we need new, because that's the Lord has given us people to make sure that we accommodate. Also in your bulletin, there's a big paragraph about a marriage conference. And it's not a conference, it's just a book study. But my wife and I will be doing that. And it's April 24th, excuse me. And I'm going to order some books on hand just to have some extras. But if you can, order the book ahead of time. You can get it on Kindle. But that would be great if you're thinking about marriage. If you're in a marriage, but it's like it's gotten a little bit boring. If for some reason you've got an unbelieving spouse, and you just, this is like the solution to maybe counseling, it's a great start. God does marvelous things through those opportunities. So Jesus, we would just give you the glory and the credit. We would just have you help us in our sanctification, the call to be holy, and help us to do different things to get our minds and our hearts ready for your return, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. Speaking about that, and in regards to that, I would like to show you something kind of funny, and then talk just a minute about sanctification before we go on to confession week two. Helps when it's on. Well, yes. It was funnier at home. Thank you. Thank you, I'll take it. Thank you, I'll take it. Thank you, I'll take it. Yeah, so that's kind of cute. Hey, so sanctification. Say sanctification.
Sanctification.
It's interesting because it's like 2 weeks? Preach 2 weeks on confession? What? As Christians, confession? Well, we talked about last week how we want to walk with Jesus. We want to walk in the light. No darkness. We want to be able to see his illuminated path for us. So we step out and we confess our sins as Christians. Look at 1 John 1:9. And I got to thinking, that's fitting for sanctification. Because after you're born again, which means you're justified by faith alone in Christ alone, justification. Then you go on to sanctification. You're set apart to be holy. You're set apart to be holy. Oh my goodness. You're set apart to be holy. I don't know. That hit me this week when I was at a conference. It hit me hard. Set apart to be holy. So our mission is to look at this, because this is a proof text for that. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. So this is quite interesting because You and I are called to be set apart. You and I are called to live holy lives. Look at this. Look at this. Paul in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Who else had that passion today? I put it on this morning because that's like a new conviction for me. And so it may be for you to see this verse. Do you leave the house desiring to be holy, fixing our thoughts on heaven things, eternal things? Well, I do until somebody cuts me off. And then all of a sudden, I get really nasty and naughty in my thinking. And so it becomes a challenge. But this is the opportunity. This is God's will for us.
What do you mean? Don't tell me God's will for me.
Well, read 1 Thessalonians on sanctification and read Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Oh, no, it was just to that church. Colossae. Okay, and the Thessalonica church. Oh, no, stop it. Stop that. We're really crazy about context, so we're not going to abuse the context. But set your mind above when you go out. When you leave here, set your mind above. Well, let's dig deeper, because we have time, and because we are here to learn. Confessions, part 2. Doesn't that sound like an album? Like maybe in the 70s that you sought out to buy? Confessions from, I don't know what publisher or what other distributing company. But, and it's like the wow version, It has all these love ballads. Okay, that was probably just me too. But late at night, things like this are really funny. Even though I actually... study all week for the week, not just the night before. Confessions, part 2. Hey, great obedience award and great lawlessness award. KD, who's KD? King David. Anybody for Kevin Durant? He's KD. I came from Phoenix. He's a star. You ever watch him play? He's so good. He's no Kobe, but he's really good. So, but no, it's King David. Kevin Durant, they'd be like, that's silly. Let's go on with the sermon, shall we? Let's go on. King David, great obedience award and great lawlessness award. A king that wasn't allowed to build the beautiful temple that his son Solomon built. Because he had blood on his hands. He expanded Israel's borders unlike any other king. He was blessed, but he was also, he was a lawless kind of guy. It's like, if he can do some of those things and find forgiveness, so can we. And we can be alive in Christ. So powerful. Look what happened after Saul got kicked out. Saul was 86th. Actually, I believe the Lord took the Holy Spirit from Saul. And David doesn't want that to happen to him, we'll see. In the Old Testament, that's what the Holy Spirit did. Came on people, worked in different degrees and for different purposes, and then left. Okay? Different than what we have in the New Covenant. In the new covenant. Look at this, Acts 13:22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So wait, this leads to great favor. Doing what God wants you to do leads you and I to great favor in our life. But How about the times that we quench the Spirit? God's moving in our family or situation or life and community, and then we just quench the Spirit. Say, nah, too tired, not going to do it. Well, that would be opposite of doing everything God wants us to do and being a person after God's own heart. But you can see the text there, Acts 13, 22. Let's look at some of David's after God's own heart attributes. Say attributes. Attributes. Say attributes are good. Attributes. Yeah, they are. They're really good. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts in praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Psalms 100, verse 4. A psalm of David. So, thanksgiving, praise, be on our lips. Good. Part of a man being after God's own heart. Part of that. Good. Good. For I delight in your commands because I love them. Psalms 119, 47 and 48. Now some go, could be Ezra. Yeah, it could be a lot of people. First, maybe David wrote that, but David wrote 73 Psalms out of 150. And there's a couple others that are attributed to him. So David's writing scripture. He loves God's ways and his commands. He just has lapse moments. Like us all? Amen? Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. So yeah, I'm going to attribute that to David there. How about this? His heart was pointed toward God. There are people that say, I'm going to church on Sunday. Can't wait for work on Monday. It's not church, it's not ministry. I just love work. Okay, okay. In that work, is your heart possibly pointed towards God? You be the decision, Micah. You decide. And then once you decide, you go, it's an attribute of David. And he's a person after God's own heart. It's good. But hey, for today, for confession too, let's look at this. Psalm 51. He asks for forgiveness and repents. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Do you confess? Do you confess your sins as Christians? We've talked now for 2 weeks. Next week's the last week on a prayer sermon series, and it has to do with praying alone or praying in a group and also praise and thanksgiving. So we leave this after today, and you're like, good, this is messy, and it can be nasty. That's the way God intended it, for us to make things right with him and not be paralyzed in our sin as Christians. Okay, so we know this. Let's take just a moment and look at a lapse of judgment, a person after God's own heart. Let's look to see what happened. One of the many things that happened, but this is a doozy. Can you say doozy? Yeah, doozy. This is a doozy. Oh, my gracious. David sinned with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5. A time where kings usually go to war, it says. David inquires and summons her. He stays back. His men are out fighting. I believe it's the Ammonites. He stays back and inquires and summons Bathsheba, who's bathing across the way on a rooftop. And so when he summons her and inquires about her, he's the king. He gets what he wants. But David's not like any other king. He actually has guilt. He actually has a place and a point where there's problems that go on, because he's letting this sin just like remain. And he's not dealing with it for a long period of time. He has a relationship with her. gets her pregnant. I mean, this is kind of like a soap opera. I mean, it's that crazy. And so let's go on a little bit further here. Remember, he summons her. He's in charge. Women are not held in high regard. And so what the king says goes. But he's a man after God's own heart. How can we make sense of this? He should let us know about what Paul says in Romans 7, 14 through 25. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah. So Bathsheba enters into a relationship with King David. God bless you. He summons her. They start a relationship. She's pregnant. So look what David does. You'd think he'd be a quick apology. Get back on track. Make wrongs right. No, he attempts deception. 2 Samuel 11, 6 through 13. Uriah is a king-honoring man. He's also a Yahweh-honoring man. He's a Hittite. But Israel knocked out the Hittites and overtook them in Canaan. And so now Uriah is fighting for Yahweh, fighting for King David. And so it's like he's kind of in like a semi-circle with David there. He's called home by KD. King David or Kevin Durant? Scratch the checking for understanding. King David called home from battle. He thought he would encourage Uriah to go home to connect with Bathsheba. She's pregnant. He wants to cover it up. Oh, that's nasty. Yeah. We go really wayward when we start out with thoughts that are not pleasing to God. Just look at James chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. You can read that at home or somewhere in the backyard. It's really kind of a negative passage, but it tells us what happens when we engage thoughts that are not of God. Encouraged to go home to reconnect with Bathsheba. He gets him drunk. One more night, fella. One more night. Uriah doesn't bite. Okay, he says, my men are out there. I'm not going to go have fun. I'm not going to go engage with my wife. He says, plan failed. Darn. Gets him, liquored him up. For sure, the mother load. Didn't work. I mean, that's nasty. David's premeditated murder. You got to resort to really dastardly things. Now, you know what? As a king, David's like par for the course. But he's reverently fearing Yahweh. And he knows, not right away, but he knows he's wayward. 2 Samuel 11, 14 through 17. KD sends Uriah back to battle with a letter. The general, Joab, follows KD's instructions. He's to be sent to the front line to fight, and then the rest of the men, they retreat. So he's surely dead and dies, and others die. It's like, wow! It's like, I mean, this is the king. He's still looking to be deceptive. Now he's got premeditated murder. Two capital offenses. This is not good. We can choose the sin, but we cannot choose the consequences. If you go to Psalms 32, we talked about the first four verses last week. Go there if you would and look, because after about 9 months, David starts to get really heavy with these sins. He starts to really go, you know what? I'm not sure I can keep going. I've got a lot of guilt, and nothing seems to be working out. And so he says that he's heavy. He has heavy on his heart the things of his past which haven't been dealt with. That's just unconfessed sin. And you're going to see, not till Nathan the prophet goes there and confronts him, does he turn. Not until that happens does he turn. This is several months down the road. But you know what's strange is when you're carrying around sin, it just looks funny. It feels funny. It's always bringing you down. By the end of the day, you're just tired. You're just tired because that's what it's... Oh. It just goes everywhere with you. It's the strangest thing. It's like, yeah, something that happened a long time ago. You don't want to discuss it. You don't want to think about it. You just carry it around, though. And so others are like hurt and harmed by it because you won't deal with it. And it's like, sorry, ladies. Hope your knees are good. You know, you just keep going around. But it just hits people uniquely. And so the prophet Nathan comes to announce a series of curses that would fall on David's house because of his sin. God bless you. And so, wow, look what happens. There's consequences to our evil. Look what happens. 2 Samuel 12, 9 through 14. This is what the prophet Nathan approaches David about. The sword will never depart from David's house. Others would have sexual relations or will have sexual relations with David's wife publicly. Think of a rooftop. Think of a son. Think of, oh my goodness, this comes to fruition. And then the child born to David and Bathsheba would not live. So, yeah, we can go out and just be naughty, but there's a payment. That's the way God has set it up. But Jesus, you say, Jesus has paid for that. Yes, if you're in Christ, Jesus has forgiven you. Therefore, Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation in Christ. But he says to the Apostle Paul in Romans 6, can I keep sinning so that grace would abound more? Can I keep trespassing? Woohoo! And Paul says emphatically in the Greek, don't you dare. Don't betray that trust. Don't do it. So this was David's come to Yahweh moment. He did. That's that first picture in the corner. That other picture is, who do you have speaking in your life? Not probably a prophet. You might have a prophet speaking into your life. Send them my way. I want to see what's next in terms of revelation from God's word. Or really, prophets really just kind of tell what God's word says and how that fits into the picture right now for the most part. Ooh, I just lost one. Who's speaking into your life? Who's speaking truth and love to you to where you've gotten so comfortable with them, they have permission to say, this isn't going well. If this doesn't change, this will happen. If this doesn't happen, if something doesn't happen here, this is probably what's going to happen to you, to your family. You got to find somebody with accountability. You got to find somebody with accountability. We fight accountability. I'm not going to get vulnerable in front of somebody. Okay. Had the prophet Nathan not been bold enough to come to David? No, no. Talk about messy. Talk about messy. So let's go on. We finally have repentance. We have confession. And that leads us to our final couple slides. Psalm 51. New Living Translation, because I interject some of the New King James in there when the language is more appropriate. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Nathan the prophet came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. The choir director, it could be a priestly Levite who was involved with music. It also could be Yahweh himself. And more times than not, I believe it to be Yahweh when this is addressed like this. Psalm of David, regarding the time Nathan the prophet came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. You look, I need to give you something to do, otherwise I lose some of you because you say it's too much talking. Go over the first 11 verses in Psalm 51, please. Go over the first 11 verses in Psalm 51. And I'd like you to tell me which two verses are not for us today. Which two verses are not for us today? Verses 1 through 11. David's confession, David's repentance. Which two verses are not for us today? You know, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Bite your tongue. Oh, no. You'll see the relevance in just a moment. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Let me give it to you. What is it? 11 is one. What's the other one? Verse 10. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11. David says, create in me a clean heart. That word create is what God uses when he created in Genesis. Create in me a clean heart. David's asking for a new heart. David's asking for a new heart. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. In the new covenant, we are promised. We are promised that Jesus will give us a new heart. That we're a new creation. And so look at the verses. Ezekiel 36, 26 tells us that. Where the prophet will say, this is coming. And it talks about our newfound covenant with Jesus. Ezekiel 36, 26. And 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Guess what? Ephesians 4, 30. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit leaving. Remember, we're sealed. We're sealed with the Spirit. We're sealed with the Spirit for those that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so as we go back here, as we go back, we see, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stains of my sins. New King James is transgressions, a willful knowledge. You ever sin with a willful knowledge? I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it because my brain and my feelings are crying out, get him, get him, get him. And we can't contain it. This is the language here, willful knowledge, willful knowledge. Wash me clean from my guilt. New King James is iniquity. Guilt's a better word here. Iniquity does mean also guilt, used several different times in the scripture. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. Wow. Wait a second. He didn't just sin against Yahweh. He sinned against Bathsheba, about Uriah. He has a whole list of people that who he sinned against. But God's the judge. God's the one that will dictate his future. God's the one that will graciously restore him, not those others. Not those others. That's why he says that. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just, for I was born a sinner. I was brought forth in iniquity. What? Born a sinner? Born a sinner? Transfer sin from parents to us. The transmission. And then Romans 5:12, all sinned through Adam, transferred through parents, through our parents. For I was born a sinner. King James, I was brought forth in iniquity. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, inner being. Teach me wisdom, even there. You read 7 through 11. Somebody tell me which verse stands out the best and ministers encouragement to you because God saw it fit to be put here for us. Which verse do you like? Yeah, a foreshadowing of what's to come. With Jesus. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. How do you get whiter than white? Okay. Pretty interesting though. Yeah. Thanks, Darlene. Anybody else have a favorite verse there? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Wow, a clean heart. Renew a loyal spirit within me. God, keep working in my life. Keep helping me. Keep working in my life. Verse 12, restore me to the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. 14, forgive me for the shedding blood. Wait a second. Forgive me for the shedding blood. Why is that in here? This was the sin of Bathsheba. The sin with Bathsheba. Why is that there? He sent Uriah to the front line. Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Awesome. Look at this, verse 16. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. There's no sacrifice for capital offenses. No sacrifice. David probably went to the altar with goats and bulls, but to no avail. Look what he said God wants. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit, Lord. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. So that leads us here. Where do we go from here? What do we do from here? What's next? You see a confession there. You see brokenness there and sorrow for sin there. What's God calling for us to do next to get us where He wants us? So I guess I'd want you to think, because we've got communion here. We've got communion. We want you to partake in communion here. Can we get some servers to come up, please, here that would just man the tables? We get some. James, come on up. Ken, come on up. They just watch over. They just watch over the table here. As you come up, we've got some things to think through. We've got some things to engage with. Let me give you the instructions. We're not going to play music again. We're not going to do a formal altar call. But in a few moments, when I say go, if you would prepare your heart to come up and grab some bread and a cup, and then just walk off to the side somewhere. You can even walk and sit somewhere, but either alone or with your party that you came with, and take communion together. Take it together. If you want to do it alone, go off and be alone. And then when you're done, quietly, prayerfully, pray for the people who remain in here and slip out and have a beautiful, beautiful rest of the day. If for some reason you want to wait and have communion because there's just a lot of crud going on in your family or life, sit right there and get it right as long as you need. Here's the other option. I'm going to be at the cross. I'm going to be at the cross. If you're at a place, and John, would you join me at the cross? If you're at a place where you just say, the crud at home, the crud in my life, the crud that's plagued me when I was growing up is not going away, go to the cross and meet us. And we'll take you individually, maybe back to a room or in a side room up there, and talk through some things and pray with you. Matter of fact, I'd like to get a couple of ladies that'd be willing to come around the cross, that if people should want to come and pray and deal with things first before coming to the table, I think that's fair. I think the Apostle Paul tells us that in Romans, 1 Corinthians 11, when he's getting this church ready to partake in the Lord's Supper. Donna, thank you. John, thank you. Can I get one more lady over to the cross? Come, when we say go, come and pray. Come and confess. Come and get it off your chest. Come and get it off your heart and know that God's received it. And if you're born again, there's cleansing. 1 John 1:9. If you're not born again, we'll talk about what it is to be born again with you. And so it's free. We want you to leave here free. Not going, well, that was weird. Check church off today. I'm good for a while. No, 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 no. He wants us to deal with our stuff now while you have the opportunity. Any clarification needed for the directions? If you're waiting for a party that's coming to the cross to talk, they won't be long. If you're here, going to have communion, take it. Rejoice in the little cluster of people you're with. Then walk out prayerfully, and we'll see you next week, Lord willing.